chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Weekend preview time. Manchester United needs to beat Everton. Alert, Manchester United needs to beat Everton. Will it happen? Also, Man City hosts Liverpool in a huge clash in the Premier League. We give you Serie A action, MLS decision day, Der Klassiker. And of course, we have all the betting tips and analysis with my brother, Jimmy Conrad. Make sure that you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, stream us on Spotify and Stitcher, and stay right here because the show begins right now. Weekend preview time. Manchester United, Everton, Man City, Liverpool. We got some good Serie A matches. Decision day, MLS. And I'm here with Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy, how are you, brother?
I am great. And I have one of my favorite kits on right now. So I'm excited. I know some people will say it looks like a carpet at an airport, maybe. But I am all in on Forward Madison. I love what they're doing with their kits in particular. So shout out to them.
Yeah, it's a 1980s Sears style carpet, but I love it. I'm feeling it. It looks sexy. You look sexy. The games are sexy. Let's go. And we begin with the Premier League, Manchester United, Everton. First of all, Jimmy, give us some betting tips on this one.
Yeah, really what I have in this one in particular is the draw. And I say that because Everton are coming off of this game losing to my Newcastle, which actually brought me a great deal of joy. So I appreciate you, Everton, laying down to the tune, baby. But Hummus is supposed to be back in the team. He's being announced as doubtful. I think there's a little gamesmanship here, a little sportsmanship, a little like, no, he's hurt, but they're actually going to start him. We saw, you know, Mourinho do this with Heung-min Son not too long ago. They're not going to reveal whether he's going to play. I think he's going to play, and I think he'll end up being the difference. That's where I get a little sticky, Luis, because if he plays, Everton plays so much different. But if he's not on the team, I feel like they become very one-dimensional. And I say that with all due respect to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who has been on fire this season for Everton. But and then you have Manchester United, who are undefeated away from home in their last six away league matches. There's just something about not being at Old Trafford. I think they just relax a little bit and they start to play. But they are under the gun right now. I think they're going to respond in a positive way to losing to Istanbul Başakşehir midweek, which was a bit of a shock and a bit of a surprise. Ole Gunnar is under it right now. I like the draw. I just can't think of the number right now. Let me get that up right now. I want to get your thoughts, though, with regard to Everton in terms of Hummus, the version with Hummus and the version without, because if he doesn't play, I just think it's more of a – they lack creativity.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. And it wasn't just a Newcastle loss, right? They lost to Southampton as well. So, you know, Everton really wants that victory. With James, everything just clicks a little more because he's so versatile. He can go wide. He can be central. He's the assist king. He creates so much. He just brings a little bit of flair. And I think that, you know, Ancelotti did a smart thing by resting him against Newcastle because he thought, I think my squad's good enough. And now he can see that clearly he needs it more than he thinks. So he's going to come in. He's fresh. I know that they're saying doubtful, but he's all right. And he's definitely going to want to be involved before the international break, before, you know, he faces, for Colombia during the international break. So that's one thing. Listen, here's the other thing about Manchester United, and I've said it. This is it for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He needs a win here. I think he doesn't win here and his job is seriously on the line. And I'll say it again. United are Derek Zoolander. They're Derek Zoolander staring at that puddle in the street saying, who am I? And the puddle saying, I don't know. They don't know who they are. And I think you make a good stat about playing away from home and making them feel comfortable when they're not at Old Trafford. But to me, this is a huge game for Manchester United. And if they don't win, I think his job's on the line. And guess what? I see Everton winning this one.
I love all your Zoolander references. Please keep those going. That movie is the gift that keeps on giving. The numbers for this, the draw is plus 285. So I meant to throw that in there. Obviously got lost in my dreaming of Hummus scenarios. But if Hummus plays, I think you guys might want to consider, if you're looking for a little action, to Everton to win this one. As Luis said, that's plus 185. That's still really good value. Like Luis also said, I don't know what what version of Manchester United is going to show up, plus Mauricio Pochettino, who has been quietly on the sidelines after getting let go from Spurs, waiting. There's been tons of opportunities, I'm sure, that's been hitting his plate, just announced that he's ready to get back into management. That's interesting timing. Interesting timing, Luis, that he would say that right when there's a little bit of issues with Ole Gunnar. So, yes, if he drops these points, I think he could be in some big trouble. And that would give Mauricio Pochettino a transfer window in January to really – I feel like you have to make that move before the transfer window so you can give the new coach, you know, some movement to maybe shape his team in the way that he wants to see it.
So let's look into the crystal ball then, Jimmy, just for a second before we move on to another game. Like, I've been saying for 2 years, I think Pochettino is exactly who Manchester United needs, because what happens when you're a team without an identity? You go after a manager who lives or dies with his identity. And that to me is Pochettino. What do you think about, well, first of all, how important is this game for Solskjaer? And B, do you think Pochettino would be the right man for United?
Huge game for Ole Gunnar. I think in some ways, every time he has his back against the wall, the team seems to respond, which is why I'm giving them half a chance here with the draw. I don't know who he's going to roll out. I do like Anthony Martial to score anytime, plus 160. I think that's good too. I thought he scored against Istanbul Başakşehir here. I think he's ready. I think he's ready to get multiple goals in multiple games. I don't know for sure if Mauricio Pochettino will end up taking the job. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I think Maxi Allegri needs to be thrown into the equation as well. Obviously, a lot of experience with AC Milan and Juventus. And he's already expressed his interest in coaching in England. He's learning English, right? So he's doing all the right things to put himself in a position. And Manchester United's a job that he's already stated that he would love to have. So I think you have two options there with Pochettino and Allegri. What's interesting about this whole thing, Luis, is I think that Ole Gunnar, and this might sound absolutely bat crap crazy. I'm trying to make it a family-friendly show, everybody. Would it be weird if Ole Gunnar became Pochettino's assistant? Because I really feel like Ole Gunnar has helped the team in individual ways, right? Rashford is playing better and more consistently. Martial is playing better and more consistently. I don't think he would accept that role, but I think he would be a help still. It's really weird because, like, you know, he still has the DNA of the club ingrained in him, and he might still be a spy for Sir Alex for whatever coaching staff is coming in next, because I think Sir Alex probably still has his fingerprints on a lot of things. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think about that? I don't know.
I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's going to happen at all. I think Solskjaer, like, would just be like, you either keep me or you leave me. I think that it's just a very difficult decision for United because he's such a club legend. But you know what? They shot themselves in the foot, because when they hired Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they were like so excited at the fact that they beat PSG two seasons ago when he was the interim manager, and they said, we're going to give you a full-time contract. And that was just a big mistake. I think it's a good idea for Solskjaer to keep on learning. He's still young, but he wouldn't do that. I think he will either stay full-time or he will go somewhere else.
Maybe. Yeah, I what's interesting about that PSG game when they gave him the extension was that they were on a 16-game unbeaten streak, and then they went into Paris and did the unthinkable. And then right after he got that big contract, they didn't win a game for 8 games or something. It's super funny. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It should be interesting to see. But I think for us neutrals, Manchester United being a dumpster fire is kind of fun.
Yep, absolutely. Let's move on with the big one, Manchester City against Liverpool on Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Big game. Man City has won their last three home league games against Liverpool by an aggregate score of 11-1. What do you have here from a betting tip standard, Jimmy?
I do think both teams are going to score. So if you're looking at William Hill and you're looking at options, you got to find the ones where both teams are going to score. Obviously, they are littered with world-class talent on both sides. If you want Man City to win and both teams to score, it's plus 200 to Man City. I think that's really good value. However, the draw is plus 320. And I bring up the draw once again because Liverpool are on something fierce right now. I think they've kind of unlocked a little bit of their attack with Diogo Jota really stepping up and providing a different look for them. And I don't know, teams have figured out how to manage Salah, Mane, and Jota. Whereas Firmino, who I do love, don't get me wrong, but he's a little bit more stationary as a number nine. He really stays in between the two center backs. Whereas Jota, I mean, when Salah's the false nine, dude, he could be running into the corners. He's checking back. And I liken it in some ways to when PSG has Di Maria, Neymar, and Mbappe. Like, they can just interchange so much. It's very hard for the defense to really know. And it really unsettles the defense. So I think Jota's going to start. And I think that's going to be tough in some ways for Man City to figure out. Obviously, they've got some talented players. I do like the draw here. I do say, though, one more point here, and then Luis, I got to hear your thoughts. City needs to win this game more than Liverpool does. If they lose this game, they'll be 8 points behind Liverpool. Not to say that they can't overcome that, because they do have a game or two in hand, but that will be a huge feather in the cap for Liverpool to create that distance between who I still consider to be their biggest rival for the league. Liverpool are on top. They're managing the Virgil van Dijk injury very well. Fabinho being hurt. I mean, everybody's getting hurt and they're still figuring out ways to win games. That is a sign of a champion, but Man City need this more. I think they know they need this more. And if they really want to compete and put pressure on Liverpool throughout the whole season, not just maybe at the end or just a month or two, they have to win this game. And I like that urgency that I think we're going to see from City. So that's why I'm kind of in between City winning and both teams scoring and both teams scoring and getting a draw.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this is a bigger game for Man City because we've seen this storyline before. If Man City doesn't catch up early, then Liverpool could just keep getting running away with it. Two big points for me here. One, let's focus on Liverpool and Diogo Jota and the Bobby Firmino situation. Klopp actually commented on this after the Atalanta game saying, listen, like, I understand the conversation and why it might be a headache for me, but it really isn't because the Atalanta game, I actually saw Diogo Jota better suited for this, not just because of momentum, but the way that he can mobilize a little bit more wide, drop deep, be more creative. And when you look at Man City, that's a different type of animal to deal with. So I wouldn't be surprised if Firmino returns to the lineup and Jota once again is on the bench. So that's one Liverpool point. From the Man City perspective, it's about making sure that Man City don't over-rely on Kevin De Bruyne in this game. It's about making sure that they become more of a balanced team. And to your point, Man City really needs to collectively make sure that they're on it in order to really gain some advantage of Liverpool, because this is a bigger game for Man City. They need to win this one. I think if Liverpool loses this, nobody's saying, oh, that's it, Liverpool's done. I think Man City loses this one, then they're saying, wow, the gap is getting bigger. And Liverpool won without Virgil van Dijk. And that says a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. And for everybody else that's still looking for some juice on maybe individual players, if you go look at any time goal scorers, there is some good value on everybody. You can get Mo Salah plus 120, which is very good. He's quietly putting together another great season. Gabriel Jesus plus 120. I don't know if he's going to start. He did score when he came on off the bench in Man City's win in the Champions League. But Ferran Torres has been starting. He scored early in that game. Raheem Sterling plus 120. Kevin De Bruyne plus 138. Sadio Mane plus 150. Jota plus 180. There's a lot of good value there. I guess it just depends on who you're feeling is going to really step up and score in this game. I think there are going to be some goals. I think there are going to be some good ones. I don't think it's going to be that tight. I do want to give a shout out, though, to Man City's back line. I think that even though they started Ake and Stones midweek, I like the Laporte-Ruben Diaz pairing. I think Pep's going to continue to go with that. And I think they might have found the pairing that's going to lead them to more consistency in that back line. So, yeah, lots to think about, but I still think there are going to be a lot of goals.
That's a really good point, though, about showing some props to Man City's defensive, because we were all questioning how they were going to look because of the lack of chemistry, whatever. But no, they're doing really well so far. All right, the other remaining games. And Jimmy, I'll just explain some fixtures and then you just let me know anything that speaks to you from a betting standpoint. Chelsea against Sheffield United play as well. Actually, the ones before Saturday are Brighton against Burnley, Southampton, Newcastle, Crystal Palace against Leeds, a really tasty one, and Leicester City against Wolves. I like that one. A London derby, West Ham against Fulham, West Brom, Tottenham. And of course, it all ends up the weekend with Arsenal hosting Villa. Anything from any of those matches?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. I'm trying to find good value for you guys. I didn't take as deep of a dive. I tried to focus on the big ones because I think that's what everybody is going to be watching for the most part. Arsenal are pretty heavy favorites. Villa have, and I know, Luis, you can speak to this, kind of fallen apart a little bit. They were so good defensively, and now they've swung so hard the other way. It seems interesting. Like, there's no in-between with those guys. They either get a clean sheet or they give up four goals. So it'll be interesting to see if Arsenal can take advantage of that, who are still, I think, still trying to figure out who their best attacking line is or their best front four. Though I think Thomas Partey is still a fantastic signing. I think he'll help them out a lot. Leicester Wolves is actually a really good game. Leicester at home, okay, have been pretty solid. You're going to get Jamie Vardy back on the team. They're plus 135 to win at home. Now, Wolves, obviously, a very difficult opponent, but I like that value, just to win straight up plus 135. Tottenham, pretty heavy favorites there. Nothing to see. West Ham, pretty heavy favorites over Fulham. I don't know. West Ham, you just don't know what you're getting with those guys. I feel like they play to the level of their competition, and Fulham aren't very good. So I could see a draw in that game. That would be plus 275. Chelsea should do the business. Maybe go look at anytime goal scorers and see what's there. I do believe that Leeds could sneak out a result against Crystal Palace. So Leeds winning straight up is plus 145, but I could see a draw there, plus 225. Crystal Palace actually is not even the favorite at home. They're plus 195. So I don't know. Maybe roll the dice there and see if you got like something. My Newcastle, they're not going to beat Southampton. Southampton is on something fierce right now. I think they're going to get the result. And then Brighton, Burnley. Burnley's struggling. They are struggling. They're known for their defensive stuff, and they have given up a ton of goals. They're on the bottom of the table in the Premier League. So I kind of like Brighton to do the business, but they're the favorites, and there's that much value there that I see.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about Burnley. One note on Leicester and Wolves in the top flight. Wolves have actually winless in their last 10 away games against Leicester since a 2-1 win in December 1971. So wow, that should tell you something there. We will be right back to talk a little bit more about Europe and MLS.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here with my brother, Jimmy Conrad. We've talked Premier League. We're going to stay in Europe. Serie A, Jimmy, some good matches this weekend. Talk to us.
Yeah, the big ones for me are Lazio hosting Juventus. That's going to be a good one. The lines here, Lazio, even though they're at home, playing at Stadio Olimpico, are the heavy underdogs, plus 275 for them to win this one straight up. The draw is plus 270. And Juve is the favorite. It's minus 107. So you have to bet 107 to win 100 for everybody that's unaware of how that works. Juve, for me, though, even though they had a good performance, Cristiano Ronaldo is back. You know, you have to take into consideration who they were playing in their last two games. Not the best competition, but sometimes you need that. I still worry a little bit with regard to Andrea Pirlo and his tactics and his constant shuffling of the lineup. I don't feel like he's figured out who his best players are, but it is going to help to have Alvaro Morata banging in the goals. That guy feels very streaky to me when he scores and he's confident. He can be one of the best number nines in the world because he can do a lot of different things and do them well. It's just that confidence that I think he lacks. He seems comfortable. That's a great sign for Juve. I think it's going to allow them to flow into the attack a little bit better. That said, I'm still not sold just yet because of the two opponents they played. Not the best competition. Whereas Lazio, you know, they grinded out a result, 1-1 in the Champions League. They did it without Ciro, the hero Immobile. I think he'll be back in the team. He makes a big difference for them. I could see a draw on this one. I think Lazio's got a little spirit, got a little backbone. They're playing at home. They know they're going to have to need this. And obviously these were the two teams that were kind of neck and neck last season in Serie A until Lazio fell off in the last four or five games. I think they remember that. I think they want to show that they can be and beat one of the best teams in Italy. And so I like the draw. And then the other one before you pop in there, Atalanta versus Inter Milan. That is tasty as well. Atalanta, even though they got smacked by Liverpool 5-0 in the Champions League, they still have some tremendous talent. And they are the underdogs at home against Inter, plus 175 for them to win. But if you want Inter to win, that's plus 140. But if you're like me, I'm feeling a lot of draws this weekend. I could see plus 270 in the draw. Inter, is Romelu Lukaku going to be healthy? That's going to be the biggest difference for me. You know, obviously they showed some pluck against Real Madrid, even though they lost 3-2, to fight back to get to 2-2 in that one. I do like Perisic up top. I think he's a tremendous player. Atalanta also, they need this. Atalanta, I feel like, really need this result. Inter knew it needed too, but it feels a little bit more desperate from Atalanta at this point because they're so uneven this season.
Yeah, let's focus on the first one, Lazio Juventus. If you want to draw out of that, Jimmy, it'll be the first one for the first time since 2014. The last draw between Lazio and Juve was in January of that year. The other part, I think, is Immobile. I think Ciro Immobile shows up in big games, and I think that he'll score here. But Lazio have conceded 12 goals in their first six Serie A matches this season, and that's the first time since 92-93. So you mentioned Morata, who's doing well, who's feeling confident, Ronaldo back in the squad, Weston McKennie in there. Like, there's just a lot here. I see Juventus winning this one, but with Immobile scoring. Moving on to Atalanta, Inter. This is just going to be a mess of a game. It's just going to be messy. You know, like when you're a kid and you're just playing in the mud with your friends and all that stuff. That's exactly what this game's going to be. Because like you said, Atalanta are going to still really remember, obviously, that Liverpool destruction. And Inter are going to remember the, you know, the frailty and then the vulnerability of losing against Real Madrid. So they're both just going to be like, we need to just go for it. Both need it. I feel like Atalanta, I just worry because in defensive transition, they're always going to be vulnerable, no matter who you play. I mean, if Liverpool did that, I mean, I still feel obviously Liverpool's Liverpool, but any time that you play against a team who's good on the counter, then that's a problem. And Inter can do that. So I don't know. But I do see a draw in that one with you, though. I do see a draw in that one with you.
Okay, so here's some of my fun bets on William Hill, and I want to see if you would lean towards this, given the value, right? This is where they always draw me in because the value is so strong. Cristiano Ronaldo to score, okay? Juventus obviously have to win. And it finishes 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1 in favor of Juve at plus 500. That is just, it's so good. It's so tasty. Or you could go one more. You could say Cristiano Ronaldo to score, Juve to win 1-0, 2-1, or 3-1. Which would kind of cover your Ciro the hero, Immobile, you know, getting a goal and nipping it one. I just don't know if Juve's that dominant yet to own a team like Lazio, who I think do have some special players, you know, and at times can be, you know, as you said, play with anybody. You know, they've got that quality. But Ciro the hero, Immobile needs to be in there. Otherwise, I feel like it's a shuffling of the attack, and I feel like they lose a little bit of identity when he's not in the team. So those ones are so interesting, though. Do you like either one of those? I mean, if you're going to put a flyer on it.
2-1 Juve. I like that one. 2-1 Juve, Immobile scores.
Okay, well, you can hold on. Let me look at that. So you can go with, sometimes you can pick that. Immobile would score, but Juve win. I don't know if they're showing me that one. They're not even giving they're not even giving me that option, which means they know that's probably what's going to happen. So I respect that. All right, William Hill, we see you, William Hill.
What about Atalanta Inter? They've won, by the way, of their last seven Serie A games against Inter, right? They've won just one of those. So I talk about Atalanta a lot, but a draw, but I don't know. Maybe Inter will sneak there. What do you think? What's William Hill telling us with Inter winning?
Yeah, Inter winning straight up is actually plus 140. So that's pretty good value if you just wanted to go straight up and not have to sweat the small details that sometimes I give you guys from prop bets, as it were. It just depends. I mean, who do you think will score? Let's say Lautaro Martinez scores and you have Inter winning, let's say 1-0-2. 2-1 or whatever. Hold on, let me look at that. It's scrolled all the way down. You got to go into the weeds to find these ones, baby. That's what I do for you guys. So if Lautaro Martinez scores and Inter win 2-0, 2-1, or 3-1, it's plus 750. Or maybe you want to switch it and go Lautaro Martinez to score and Inter to win 1-0, 2-1, or 3-1. That's plus 850. Yo, I like those ones a lot. That's not a bad shout because I don't think Romelu Lukaku will play. And Perisic has done enough, I think, to keep back fours unbalanced so they can't focus on Lautaro completely. I don't know, man. That's some tasty stuff.
I'm going with Inter 3-1 Martinez scoring.
Wow.
Let's just go for it. I mean, that's a big gamble, but you might as well go for it.
Dude, you got to live a little bit, right? So, yeah, these are going to be great games regardless. You know, it's interesting because each one of these four teams has a narrative that they've got going on. Like Juve's got Pirlo and can he figure out that lineup, that perfect lineup for them to move forward? And then Lazio, can they actually win anything without Ciro the hero? Can their other guys step up? Atalanta is an absolute like up and down, like awesome, and then kind of a train wreck. And then Inter Milan, same kind of the Romelu Lukaku thing, but did Conte bring enough of the right guys together to end up, you know, actually challenge for the Scudetto this season? So yeah, it's great. I love Serie A this season.
Yeah, Serie A is looking good. It's giving me that 90s feel. I love it. Stay right here, guys, because we'll be staying in Europe, moving to Germany for their classic ad. Welcome back, everybody, from England to Italy and now to Germany. A big, big game on Saturday, lunchtime, Eastern time. Borussia Dortmund hosts Bayern Munich, their Klassiker. We actually have some comments from Serge Gnabry from Bayern Munich on this game. Check it out.
Yeah, for Dortmund side, I'm happy that they're playing good football and winning games. On Bayern's side, I think it is more enjoyable when you win against a team that is, as you mentioned it, maybe on eye level with you. But I think we're still the favourites to go in the game. We know it's going to be hard. We know they play good football. And in the end, we want to win to make sure that we're still on top.
So that was Serge Gnabry talking about their Klassiker. Obviously, a really, really big game. Jimmy, Bayern have won all three competitive games against Dortmund under Hansi Flick. They won the last two league games by an aggregate scoreline of 5-0 and beat them 3-2 in the Super Cup this season. So I guess the story is writing itself. What do you think?
I mean, that has to end at some point, and I think Dortmund does have the team. And a lot of healthy players. I always feel like Marco Reus will be hurt, or Gio Reyna, or Erling Haaland, or some of their key players will be hurt, Mats Hummels or somebody. They've got a full squad here. They've been excellent at home. They're playing in Dortmund at the former Westfalenstadion. I know it's got a different name now. I played there once, and so what a thrill that was, US versus Germany. I won't tell you the final score, but what a great experience that was. I will say they have scored 10 goals in their three home games so far in the league, and they've given up zero. Now, obviously, Bayern Munich are a different beast altogether, and I don't expect that zero to remain after this game. I do think, though, they're going to be competitive. They had a good midweek game, 3-0 away from home. I thought they played well against a team that had been kind of putting up a bit of a fight. I'm talking about Club Brugge, and they made it look easy. They beat you in so many different ways. Obviously, Haaland is the key point. I think this Borussia Dortmund team is going to be up for this. I don't know if they're going to get the win, but guess what, everybody? I'm feeling a bit of a draw. I'm being honest with you. I think both teams are going to score, and plus 340. If both teams score and they get a draw, it's plus 340. I say this because I'm not completely sold on Bayern's back line. I think David Alaba, he's not a natural center back, first. He's also got contract issues that are happening off the field. They don't want to meet his demands. He's probably not going to resign with them. All of a sudden, this incredibly powerful relationship that has done so much for both the player and the club is ending acrimoniously. It's never a good vibe, right? Whether I'm sure Alaba is super professional, I'm sure the coaching staff is too, but it's still, everybody knows what's happening. And I think it takes away from some of the positivity and good vibes that could be happening. You got Alphonso Davies, who's out. I think Lucas Hernandez obviously is fantastic as well, but you got Pavard that's going to be in. Nicolas Sulla is out. He has COVID. That's a big loss for them. I'm a big Jerome Boateng fan. He's not the same Jerome Boateng, with all due respect, that he was 5-6 years ago, which is the same for any player more often than not, especially as they get older. I think Erling Haaland, I say all this because I think Erling Haaland can take full advantage of these guys. I think he will. I think they're going to score some goals. I think it's going to end 2-2. And thanks for having me.
Another draw. Listen, I think this is a clear story right here. Dortmund have the best defense in the Bundesliga this season. Only conceded 2 goals. Okay, and they could equal that record of 5 consecutive clean sheets against Bayern. However, Bayern Munich has scored 24 goals from 6 matches, which is a league record. So clearly, this is just the most amazing offense against a very good offense too. But people forget that Dortmund's defense is also very good. But you mentioned some absentees there, so that's a clear storyline. I don't see a draw here, but I do see a high-scoring game, but I still see the Hansi Flick magic here. Bayern Munich are just too good. I do think, though, and I'm wondering what you're going to see there, Jimmy, from William Hill, I do think Dortmund will score first. I just think that Bayern Munich will end up winning. So okay. What's the tip on that one?
Okay, yeah, I'll have to take a little bit of a dive in that.
What do you think personally on that one? I mean,
I could see it happening for sure. I mean, Bayern have been a little bit vulnerable in their last 2 away games. I'm not going to count Arminia Bielefeld in the Bundesliga because they're bottom feeders. They just got promoted. I'm going to leave them out. But when they went to, was it Lokomotiv in the Champions League, they struggled a little bit. And then they went to Salzburg and they struggled a little bit. Both of those teams kind of went at them. And I respected it. And both of those teams were hanging in there for a while until a little bit of magic and a little bit of the class that I think Bayern has over most teams in the world ended up proving to be the difference. They can hit that switch and be like, all right, we're done messing around and we can make it happen. I think though that Dortmund, they're going to have to play somewhat of a perfect game. They can't make those dumb mistakes that Bayern are so good at punishing. And if they can limit those and keep everything pretty predictable defensively, get good numbers behind the ball and just make it a little difficult for Thomas Müller to find space. Obviously, Mats Hummels played with Bayern for many, many years. So I think he'll come in with some good insight on how to defend Robert Lewandowski because he had to do it in training for what, 3 or 4 years straight. I think those are some advantages. I think the Borussia Dortmund goalkeeper is going to have to stand on his head to make some saves. And we could argue that Manuel Neuer had to make a few saves against these other opponents. The Salzburg could have ran away with that game, and he made some big saves. He did it against Moscow as well. They are vulnerable. They're going to give up chances. I just think that Dortmund can take advantage of those. The draw feels like the safe one here because it's really hard for me to say who's going to win this game straight up, because I think you can make a really strong case for both given their current form. Also, let's say it like this, and I said this about Man City and Liverpool. Dortmund have to win this game. If they really want to truly compete for the league, they have to win this game at home. If they don't, it's going to be Bayern all day, every day. We all think it's going to be Bayern all day, every day anyway. But if Borussia Dortmund want to make this somewhat exciting, they have to do the business and at the very least get a draw. They cannot lose this game. And I think, again, that little bit of urgency, that little bit of, hey, we're at home, we got to do it, we got to do it here, or we're handing over the Bundesliga title. It's in there, whether it's spoken directly or everybody understands it. Those are the stakes. And I love it. I love that those are the stakes. They don't have any midweek games to worry about next week. They can go full bore in this one. This is going to be a great game and I can't wait to watch.
So don't go for the draw. Let's go for a win here. I think that Bayern's winning, but I think you made two key points. The first one, and we'll wrap it up on their Classica. But the first one is, you said it so rightly. The less mistakes Borussia Dortmund makes, the better. They have to be almost perfect on this one. There's just too many weapons from Bayern's side. And the second part is, let's not forget about the creative players here. If you like are able to contain some of the midfield issues from either side, you know, I would love to see like a man of the match performance from somebody like Gio Reyna. That would be incredible.
Oh, God.
How good would that be?
Huh? That would be amazing. Yes, I would be so excited. We had a chance to speak to Greg Berhalter yesterday on HQ after the games. And yeah, I'd be thrilled for him and for the national team. And I just like the vibe that's coming out of the camp right now. And I thought Greg was in a great mood. And why wouldn't he be, right? So to see Gio Reyna, you know, have a man of the match performance in a game of this magnitude, this stature, would be amazing. I do want to say, though, before we move on to MLS, if you guys are crazy and you're probably already thinking, God, Jimmy's just draw crazy this time. If you get it, listen, you want to do the parlay. If you pick Everton, Man United to draw, Man City and Liverpool to draw, and Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich to draw, it's plus 5,720. You could bet 10 bucks and win 572. I might just do it because why not? 10 bucks to win 570. And then you guys would be absolutely like, Jimmy's my BFF. I'm going to listen to every word he says.
Jimmy,
if I nail that.
Jimmy, parlay partay, Banner.
Parlay partay.
I've been playing, hating. Parlay partay. I'm taking that all the way to the bank. You heard it here first. Parlay partay, baby. That was their classicer. When we come back, we're coming to North America, baby, for some MLS decision day. To wrap things up, everybody, we are MLS chatting decision day this weekend, this Sunday. And there's a lot to talk about, Jimmy. Obviously, the rules changed a little bit this year because of COVID-19 and traveling issues. So the playoff spots have expanded. They're not doing it by points, but rather points per game. So there's a lot to talk about. The East looks really interesting at the end. Shout out to Nashville, by the way. We'll be talking to their manager next week as well. And we have a special guest as well tomorrow. But a little bit more on MLS, Jimmy. What do you see here from the East and the West as we look ahead to the final day of the regular season?
Yeah, first things first, I want to give a shout out to MLS. This has got to be so extremely difficult for any league, but them in particular, to try to manage and salvage what was left of this season. Obviously, the other sports teams mainly went into a bubble and tried to figure it out. MLS did both, right? The bubble, and then they're trying to get the league and trying to make it all work. So to be fluid and flexible with that many moving parts has been nothing short of impressive. And they've done their best, I think, to mitigate a lot of the COVID issues. And so I just want to give a shout out to them, because even though I know a lot of people behind the scenes there, the stress levels must be off the charts, and they've been pretty cool and calm throughout, and it's been pretty impressive to see. So let's talk about decision day, my favorite day of the year in MLS, because all the teams play at the same time, and that's going to figure out who playoff seeding, who gets the number one seed, who's going to be the Supporters Shield winner, which is the team with the best record, and who doesn't make it, right? So lots to talk about. What I really want, though, to focus on is the Philadelphia Union.
Just FYI, Jimmy, before you begin, they don't play all at the same time this time around.
This time, you're right. They don't. They staggered it.
Two different kickoffs. They have the 3:30 Eastern and the 6:30 Eastern. So just FYI on that one. But
thank you.
Yes, to your point, it's always good when they play at the same time. Such
That's
a
true.
Doing it, but
No, it's same day. And all the Eastern Conference games are going early. You're right. And all the Western Conference games are going separately, which I like, too, as long as it they don't cross over, so it's not going to make much of an impact. So I like that. Kind of stretches out the day. I get to watch more games, ultimately, it puts me in my happy place. Philadelphia Union, for the first time in their history, if they win and they beat the New England Revolution at home. Now, mind you, Philadelphia have played 8 games at home since the bubble tournament. They have won every single game. They are on something fierce. And if they win this game, they will be the Supporters Shield winners. They will be the number one seed. And if they get to host or get to the MLS Cup final, they would host it, which I really like. I like that rule a lot. So fair play to them for doing it. And I think they're going to do it. And so I'm excited. Hopefully they don't stumble at the finish line. They have a little bit of a history of that. They've been to a couple Open Cup finals and have lost all 3 of those. If they do, however, stumble and Toronto FC go to New York and beat the Red Bulls, then Toronto FC would be your Supporters Shield winner. So I want to shout out to Toronto as well. They've been very consistent over the years. And Alejandro Pozuelo could be the MVP candidate. He's got 9 goals and 10 assists. So I want to give him some love as well. On the Western side, the Timbers lost last night to Colorado. That hurt them a little bit. So it's between them, Sporting Kansas City, and the Seattle Sounders for the top spot. If SKC can go to Salt Lake, Salt Lake's already eliminated, so they got nothing to lose except to ruin SKC's day, and there's a little bit of a rivalry there. Then Sporting Kansas City, if they win, would be the top spot in the West. So there's a lot of great games here. And the Chicago Fire and Montreal Impact, Atlanta, they're all trying to, and Inter Miami and DC United, there's still a chance for some of these teams to sneak into those extended playoff spots. But yeah, I see Montreal and Thierry Henry in Chicago, hopefully locking it in. But so much to talk about. Such a great day in general. And hopefully you guys, whatever your thoughts are with regard to the league. And I know there are some listeners that are like, nah, I only watch Europe. This is a great day to jump in, understand who's playing, hopefully support your local team and give this a chance, because this is a special time of the year for the league. And we need to support domestic as well as all of our European based Americans as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Alejandro Bedoya, my boy, Philly Union. That'll be amazing for them. And you're so right. To host it, MLS Cup, if they win Supporter Shield, that's such a great little nugget there that could happen in MLS. The game that I'm really excited about, from the East at least, is DC United against Montreal Impact, because, you know, a lot of implications here. Obviously, you win, you're in, right? And Thierry Henry, of course, against the DC United, that's just got so many issues, but they got my Peruvian brother, Edison Flores, over there. Should be an interesting game. And then the other one, from the West perspective, LAFC Portland, as you mentioned, like that, you know, in terms of standings and seeding, could be interesting. And the Whitecaps against the Galaxy. The Galaxy have just been a mess, but, you know, amazingly enough.
But Chicharito scored a big goal last night. He did.
And then Raul Ruidíaz ties it in stoppage time. Jordan Morris and Raul Ruidíaz, by the way. I want that to be a buddy sitcom, like, right now. That'd be amazing. But the Galaxy are in 10th spot, and they're playing the Whitecaps in 9th spot, who have 24 points to 22. So again, so much drama at the bottom. So the thing is, I always complain about the fact that, you know, it's ridiculous how many playoff seedings happen. But the caveat, the good thing about it, like you said, is that on decision day, there's so much drama to look at. And you know what? I'll echo one last thing that you just said. This has been a very difficult year. It's been a very difficult year for all of us. And from a soccer standpoint, I think we forget a few things because we just focus so much on the action. We forget about the players' mentality and what they have to go through with their families. And I think MLS especially has gone through even harder times because it's still a young league that's trying to figure itself out. Let's not forget that they had to enter a bubble tournament where it was still in early days in COVID during the U.S., in the U.S., that they had to really figure exactly what was going to happen. And then after that, for the league to actually have to schedule the regular season to continue and then a playoff situation, it's a lot. It's a lot. So I echo what you say. I think we should sometimes just, there's a lot of criticism always, and that's fine, But sometimes you have to stand up and be like, you know what? You tried to give us entertainment. You tried to get this league to keep going, and you did that. And we salute you and we thank you for it.
Well said.
So that is MLS Decision Day. Jimmy, anything else to wrap up? So much to look forward to. And I know that next week, international break, we'll also be talking about the United States men's national team finally getting some action. And Jimmy, I know you're excited.
I'm already ready to talk about that. But no, this is going to be a great weekend. Hopefully you guys get some nice, warm, hot chocolate or whatever. Put a blanket around yourself and just enjoy and absorb the magic of all these games that are happening.
And that's where we'll end it. Jimmy Conrad, always good to have you, brother. That was our weekend preview. Make sure that you follow us, listen to us, leave a rating and review. Jimmy, always good to have you, brother.
Love you, Luis.
I want to thank my brother, Jimmy Conrad. Such a pleasure to have him. And of course, Serge Gnabry, courtesy of James Benj's interview. Thank you so much for that, James. We will be back to recap all the action and so much more. We're not going away in the international break, by the way. We're here every weekday. So make sure you stay tuned and we'll see you next time.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.